We are in the book of 2 Samuel. We are starting a new book. Book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1. We are going to start from verse 1.
Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance.
Last week we learned that David came to Ziklag for third day. And when he came there, he saw the Ziklag was burned down and his wives and all other 600 people's children and wife, they were kidnapped. So he got a third day, a bad news. Now again here he's saying they lived in Ziklag for 2 days. And the third day, one person comes from the camp of Israel where the battle was going on. And the man comes and gives David a bad news. This man is Amalekites. And he's living in Israel like an alien. He's not an Israelite. And as you remember, David just fought with Amalekites and brought all the loot and everything to Ziklag. Now, these Amalekites coming to David, falling down on his feet like worshiping him and giving him a news. So now David is listening. So let's read the verse 3.
And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped.
Now he is saying, I'm coming from the camp of Israel, and I am escaped from there. I don't know if he was in an army or he's a lying. Now you can see some people lie for no reason. And they think when they lie, nobody can find out. They lie such a way that nobody can understand that this person is lying. Now, when you read this person's story, he's lying such a way, and I don't know why he was lying. I think he was lying to get the favor from David and get some reward. So he comes and he says, I'm the only one escaped from there, and so he has a news. So David wanted to have a good news, but this man gives a bad news. Let's read the verse 4.
And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me.
Now see, he is giving a story. When I saw King Saul, Jonathan, and all of these people died, and not only him, so many people, Israeli people, dying and falling, I saw. When I came there, all the enemy chariots and everything is there, and Saul is badly hurt, and what he's saying to say, he was lying on there, very wounded, and last week, if you remember, Saul did not want any Gentiles, uncircumcised person to kill him. So he said to his armor bearer, you kill him, you kill me. So he didn't kill the Saul. Saul fell on his own sword and he died. But this man is giving a different story. But David was not there, so David has to listen to his story. And so he is saying, this is what happened. Let's listen to the rest of the story.
So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord.
Now he's saying, Saul told me to kill me. And he's a heathen man. Saul never tell him to kill me. But this man tells the story such a way, and he has a proof that he took a crown of Saul. I don't know how, because when Saul died and his armor bearer died, and he might be walking around their way, and he saw Saul dead, so he took his crown and took the bracelet to show David the proof that Saul is killed. So he's proud that he did it, because he knew that Saul is David's enemy. And if I tell David I killed him, so I'll get some reward or something like that, you might be thinking. So he said, Saul told me to kill, and I killed him, because he was miserable and I knew he is not going to live anymore. But he said he fell on his spear instead of sword. If somebody would have said, let me go and check it, but there was nobody to check. But he's saying these things and making it like very, very real. So David is getting a little angry, and he's asking him, who are you? And so he already told, but David wants to make sure he asks him again. Verse 11.
Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger and Amalekite.
See, he said, who are you? He says, I'm a stranger. Means, I'm not Israelites. And I'm Amalekites. He already told him before. As soon as he gave the story that Saul is dead, Jonathan is dead, David felt so sad, and he tore his clothes, and the other people were surrounding David. They did the same thing, and they did not eat whole day, and they were fasting. They did not eat anything. But at the same time, David got so angry that how come this uncircumcised person killed the anointed man of God? So David wanted to kill this man. So see what he does. Verse 14.
And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed.
This man did not say, I killed the God's anointed man, because he is heathen. He doesn't know anything anointing. He doesn't know anything. But David did not want anyone to kill the Saul, because he was anointed by God. So now, after killing him, he might be still have some life remaining. So he said, that blood is on your head because you killed the anointed man of God. And so that blood is on you because you testified you killed the anointed man of God. So David killed that man, means one of his soldiers killed him. And David is very sad now. See what happens? Sometime you're angry. Angry at your mother, father, brother, relatives, and you don't know what to do, and sometimes you hurt them. And when those people are very sad or get killed, then you feel bad. Why did I do this? And they cry and cry and cry. David had a good chance to not to join with the Philistine. Make up with the Saul and say, okay, you said sorry, I'm sorry. Let's go team up together and destroy the enemies. But the David was stubborn enough not to believe. And he said, I'm afraid of Saul. And that's why he was so scared. And he let this thing happen. And now he's feeling sorry. And so They were fasting, mourning, and now he made up a song. He was a songwriter. He composed the song and started singing for Saul and Jonathan. Please read verse 17.
And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher.
Now, book of Jasher, he said, there is another book. And this song, he said, you can find it, that book. Okay. Okay.
The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph.
Now he says this is a sad story. How these warriors, he was a very good warrior, and Jonathan, up to now they defeated many, many people. When Saul was following David, and somebody gave the news that enemy came to our camp, so he stopped everything and he went back to his town and defeated the enemy. So he was a good warrior. He was a strong, healthy, tall man, handsome man, and he was a good warrior. Only thing he did, he disobeyed God, and that's why everything started going wrong. So now he's singing and he's telling, don't tell this story to anybody. Don't tell the, what you call, Philistine people, their mountains or their daughters, and we don't want anyone to know that Saul is dead, because they will be starting rejoicing and dancing and having fun. So please don't tell anybody. That's the way singing. Verse 21.
Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty.
He's cursing that mountain. He said, that's enemy's mountain. They should not be dew, they should not be rain. They should have curse of God coming upon them. And he says, when the Saul was going and killing so many enemies, and so his sword with a field of blood, but then they will come and clean the sword and anoint with the oil and make it ready for the next time. But now he says Saul didn't get chance to clean his sword and clean the enemy's blood, and Saul is dead. So he's very, very sorry about Saul. Verse 23.
Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle, O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?
David is singing, and he is saying, Saul was a good warrior, his son was a good warrior, and Saul and his son, they were so together. That means nobody can separate them. You remember, Saul tried to kill his own son, but son never departed from Saul and never joined with David. Even the David joined with the enemy to kill Saul and Israeli people, but Jonathan never abandoned his father. And he always talked good about his father. He said to David, don't think my father is a bad person. Don't think he's going to kill you. He's not a bad man. He doesn't do anything without telling me. And we will be learning next chapter. Saul had four sons. I don't know, Jonathan was the first son or what. But Saul had four sons. And Jonathan and two other sons died in the battle. But David is not talking about other sons. David is talking about Jonathan. And even the death was not able to separate Jonathan and his father because they died the same day. And so he's trying to say that Jonathan was the best man. Now he's forgetting all what Saul did, and he's forgetting all their hatred. And now he's singing a song of love. And about Jonathan, he called him a brother. He said, "Brother Jonathan, you loved me so much. When I talking to you, I was comforted. Nobody can comfort me, my wife or my mother or my relatives, my brother. Nobody can comfort me like John. You were a good friend. You were so much loving and kind to me." And so he is praising so much about Jonathan, and he's crying and he's weeping. And he's thinking how these mighty warriors, strong warriors, died like fools. Means they could not overpower these thousands and thousands of Philistine warriors. Now David is thinking, because of my fault, because I was defected, and because I went to the enemy's territory, my brother Jonathan and my good king, they died. And so he's very, very sorry. The last verse, 27.
How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?
Now he said, how these mighty men are fallen, and all the weapons of warfare are perished. That means he's saying now, we have no strength to fight with enemy, because the warriors are gone. And so that's the way the chapter finishes. And now we are going to go to the 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1.
And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron.
Now see, this time David is asking God. Now see, he's living in the enemy's territory, Ziklag. And the king was very good. He said, okay, you live in Ziklag. And he gave him that city or town. And that town, he gave it to the David. He never took it back. That town is belong to Israeli today. So the point I'm making, David was in Ziklag. And when he went to Ziklag, that time he did not ask God, can I go to Palestine's place? Because Saul is bothering me, and only place can be safe when I go to enemy's territory. He did not ask God. God did not give him permission. That's why David suffered a lot. And now he realized, I have to ask God's permission what to do. Because even though Saul died, his one son was still alive. So Saul's military officer, Abner, was in charge of military. He made Saul's son as a king. Saul was a little bit afraid of David, but Abner very cruel to David, and they might kill David. So now David asking God, what should I do now? And he is from Jerusalem, Bethlehem, David. He doesn't have to get permission from God to go to his own town, because he's running from his own town. But he's asking God, where should I go? And God said to him, you can go up, means he said, come up to our own country, Israeli people. When they say other countries down, they say come up, means come to the higher ground where the Jerusalem is higher than other grounds. So he said, come up. And he said, where should I go? He said, go to Hebron. And so now he took the permission from God exactly, and God told him to come to Hebron. So he comes, he brings all these 600 people, and they live with him in Hebron, and he is humble now, asking God what to do, and God respected him and told him to come back to Israel's country. Verse 2.
So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron.
That means all his people, his two wives, and all 600 people, they came with David and stayed in Hebron. But see, we'll see here, some of the people do foolish thing, and many people are going to get killed in this chapter. Verse 4.
And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul.
Now some people came to David and said to David, Saul died, Jonathan died, and all some of the Israeli people ran away. But there was only one group of people. And they said, okay, we will go and take the body of Saul. And they took it, and they brought it to Saul's place, and they buried under a tree, his bones. They burned the bodies. But David did not ask them, where is the body? What did you do? And I don't know why they burned the body of Saul and his children, because Israeli people, they're supposed to bury them. But I think why they burned the bodies, because Saul's body and his children's body, they were nailed to the wall, and they might have did so many damage to the flesh. So when they took it, hardly there is a body. And so they burned it right there, and they took the bones and buried the bone where the Saul's tree was, and under that tree. And somebody told David, this is what these people did. So David was very happy, and he's giving those people some blessings. Verse 5.
And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing.
Now he says, you did a great things. He's very happy. And so you did kindness to this Saul. So you do the same thing to me, and I will be gracious to you. Means we don't want any fighting, because those people, they loved Saul and they belonged to Saul. And now what happened when Saul's son was a king, and when he became king, they got all the Benjaminites and all other 11 tribe join with the Saul's son. And David had only one tribe of Judah. So David has to be afraid of these people, because they are more, means 11 tribes, and David had only one tribe. And so if there is a war, there will be a civil war. And war was going to happen. See what happens. Verse 7.
Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them.
Now he is trying to tell them, listen, Saul is dead, you did very favor to Saul, and you did good job. Let me tell you, I'm right now a king, because he was anointed king in Judah. Say, I'm also king, so now you give me respect. We don't want to fight between you and us. Verse 8.
But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim.
See what this Abner did? Abner was the captain of Saul's army. He anointed Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, and made him a king. And so now, there are two kings. One is David, and one is Saul's son. So see what's happening. Verse 9.
And made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel.
All Israeli followed Saul's son. many other people may be not knowing that David is a king. Nobody knew that David was anointed by Samuel, because Samuel secretly anointed David, and it was not proclaimed to any Israeli people that David is your future king. So that's why some people got confused. They thought if kings died, so his son will carry on the kingdom. And that's the way heathen people were doing. One king dies and then his sons become king, and that's the way generation goes. Now David is not the son of Saul. So they didn't know why Saul and David were fighting. Saul was jealous. That's the only thing they knew. If they knew that David was anointed by God, then they won't be fighting like this. So now there are two groups of people. And see what happens. Verse 10.
Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And at the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ish-bosheth the son of Saul went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab the son of Zeruiah and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise."
Abner is a very tricky man. He was an uncle of Saul. Maybe he was younger than Saul, I don't know. But sometimes, even though you're uncle, can be younger. So what he did, he got some of his people, maybe 12 or so, and his army also was there. And he got the maybe very best warriors, and there was a pool, so they said they were other side the pool, and David and his people is this side the pool. And now he says, get your people, get best warrior, and let them fight to each other, and we are going to see the fight. Idea was, it doesn't say here, but the idea was, if David's people defeat the Abner's people, then David will be king. But the Abner's people and Saul's son's people defeat the David's people, then the David will be defeated. And that was the idea. So see what happens now. They are fighting with each other. This was not God's will. They're supposed to talk to each other and say, have a committee meeting or something, and say, listen, I am anointed by God. God has chosen to me. And now Saul is dead. And if his son start fighting with me, he will be defeated. But why we have to fight with each other? And why our warrior has to die? But nobody did anything. And they said foolishly, okay, let them fight. And see what happens when they fight. Verse 15.
Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David.
Now see, 12 by 12 people standing to each other to fight with each other, just like a wrestling match or something. Verse 16.
And they caught everyone, his fellow, by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon.
See what happened. All these people, they came together, and they start holding each other's head, maybe hair or something, and killed those. And all these 24 people died there for no reason. And the bloodshed. Everybody were very angry, but at the same time, David's people are small, only one tribe. And Abner's and King Saul's people are more, but the David's people were good warriors. Even the 12 people died, and then David's people start going after the Abner's people, and they killed so many people, and Abner was defeated. So the Abner is running for his life now, and the people are going after him. Now there are 3 good warriors were with David. If you remember, Abishai one person, when David asked, who is coming to help me? I'm going to go to Saul. Saul is sleeping. We want to go and go there. So he said, we'll go. So Abishai said, I'll go. And he said, and that same time he said, David, I'm going to kill this man, Saul. Strike once. I don't have to strike next time. Means he was a very strong warrior. And he had two brothers. Now, they are all three warriors. But the one brother was very famous on running, like a marathon runner, fast runner, like they say gazelle or deer. Now, Abner is running for his life. And these people, their warriors are running. Now, David's people are running. And so the one of the Abishai's brother, very fast runner, he's running after Abner. Now you have to see how foolish this sounds. If you're running to kill somebody, and you know that Abner is a captain of Saul's army, and that person is very good warrior, you cannot just run after him without a sword, without anything, and just run. And this is what the people sometimes die foolishly. Now see what happens. Let's read the verse 17.
And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe.
See, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now, Asahel, the one, is the fastest runner person. Now, he's running after Abner. Please read.
And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am.
Abner is running. Abner might be now a little bit older man. With this young man running after him, he says, then he gives him advice. Why are you running after me? You don't have any weapon in your hand. You said you go left or right, don't go after me. But he kept on running after him. He said, if you're running after me, go and take somebody's weapon and then come so we can fight. I don't want to fight with you because you have no weapon and you are the very good warrior. And so I don't want to kill you. He gave the warning a couple of times. But this man is running like a fool. Verse 21.
And Abner said to him, turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?
Now he said, Joab is a good man. He's in David's army. So he says, how am I going to tell your brother what happened? So please don't follow me. If you want to fight with me, take the warrior's sword and we'll fight. But if you keep on running after me, you're going to get killed. But this young man doesn't want to listen. So what happened? He had the spear. And I don't know, he put the spear this way or that way. He didn't want to pierce him. So maybe he put it this way, maybe he will stop and maybe not kill. But even though he was the end of the spear, that went all the way through from his body. Please read.
Howbeit he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still.
When the man died, and his spear came out of his body from the end, Abner might have ran away, and the people came and saw bloodshed, and many people came and stood there and maybe weeping and crying. But at the same time, then some of the people still start running after Abner. Please read verse 24.
Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. And the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gaia in the way of the wilderness of Gibeon.
Now these people start going after this person, Abner, but now it's getting darker. So now they stop going after him, and they might be coming back and bury their brother. And they were very sad. They don't know what to do. Now this is the battle between brethren. Saul was from the Benjaminites. David is from Judah. And they are fighting happen. Abner is still very smart. He gave people good advice. So now Abner is trying to say to these people, you know what? Why we have to fight? We are all brethren. Because he knew Joab and Abishai, these two brothers are left, and they are going to kill me anyhow. So he gave them a good advice. Let's read the verse 25.
And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, it became one troop, and stood on the top of an hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?"
Now he is saying, you know what? He did not say that your brother died, but he said, how long we are going to kill each other? This is not a good brother killing brother. He was thinking, if I don't follow them, they won't follow me. At least my life will be spared. And so he is giving advice, let not fight with each other. We are shedding the brethren's blood. As soon as he said, he kept his word. And he told all of his army people never to fight with the David and his people again. And they left. They never fought with David again. Means they left. Verse 27.
And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother."
They listened to Joab, and they said, okay, we are not going to fight each other. Let's go to our own houses. And from that day onwards, there was no fight. Verse 28.
So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, and neither fought they anymore.
See, they never fought with David anymore. But Abner is a good man, but he does some foolish things later on. And he also dies like a fool. See how this happening, jealousy, envy, anger, frustration, when the people are doing it, there is no end of dying. If the people can understand the root of the anger and frustration, where it's coming from, and if they come to God, this thing won't happen. But this is what the people live for. And I was thinking about this as hell, fastest running person. He died like a fool. Man gave a couple of warnings. Silas not listening, and he's following him, and he died. Verse 29.
And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died.
Even though this Abner said, we don't want fight, and he ran, but these 300 people died not after Abner said it. This happened when the 12 people died. Each other, they were fighting, and they think, who is going to win? That's the time David's people killed Benjamin's people, more than 300 people. And so they suffer. And then Abner starts thinking, why we are shedding bloodshed like that? And so let's not fight. And the fight is over. Now they are not killing each other. And so fight was stopped right there. Verse 32.
And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day.
Now all these people, they had the burial for Joab's brother, and they came sadly to the Hebron. There was the headquarter of David. And so that's the way the chapter finishes. First of all, David is sad because of his foolishness. Abner also will get killed because Joab is not forgiving Abner, and they get killed. King David is having one tribe, Israeli people, join with Saul's son, and they have their 11 tribe, and now they have two kings in Israel. But as we go, we will be seeing the king Saul's son get killed, Joab gets killed, and then King David will be the king over all 12 tribes of Israel. So the sad story, David lost his beloved friend, Jonathan. You remember what Jonathan said? Jonathan said, "I know, David, you're going to be king one day, and I will be your assistant, and I know my father is going to die, getting old, and so we will live together friendly. I don't want your kingdom." David had a good chance to make up with Saul, and Saul would have lived for a while. Otherwise, he would have been dead like Abigail's husband. So that David should have waited patiently to have his kingdom. But all this happens, we do not trust in God, and we do our own things and do not ask God's counsel. And that's what all these things happens. But now David is a little bit wiser. Now David almost 30 years old, and the other guy, Jonathan's brother, is 40 years old. So now they got two kingdoms. David's kingdom is here, is 7.5 years. The other guy was already there, king. Joab made him 2 years king. So point I'm making, these brethren fighting together, having war together, killing each other only for name's sake, and pride and ego. So we have to say, why we are fighting as a brethren? God does not want fighting. He wants unity. Devil comes to divide. The Holy Spirit comes to unite. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. We pray that each and every believer will have unity, love, and togetherness. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Whatever God has given us, we should be thankful, we should be grateful, we should not be greedy, we should not be fighting for somebody's stuff. Give us grace to humble enough to love you and follow you. We know that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.